Welcome to the Living Your Best Life podcast, where we delve into the meaning of living your best life and provide practical insights on how to achieve that. Join me, Sam Wild, life coach, mentor, and guide, committed to helping you reach your full potential and living your best life. As you prepare to listen, take a moment to center yourself, take a deep breath, relax your shoulders, and clear your mind. Let's begin.
So we're talking about self-criticism and doubt. And it's quite topical, actually. I had a client yesterday who came to me, and one of the things we're talking about in her work, or our work, is creating a more peaceful existence, a more peaceful experience for her. And she came to me, and one of the things that was going on for her was that self-doubt and criticism was really loud and really noisy. And she was operating under the assumption that it's her problem, that only she experiences this. And when I said to her, we kind of chuckled about it. And I said to her, well, actually, I think it just makes you human. And it makes you one of about 8 billion people that experiences exactly the same thing. You could see, even in that moment, there was a sense of relaxation and just kind of almost acceptance that she isn't alone, that this stuff happens. This is a human experience, having these kind of thoughts and beliefs and stresses. It's totally normal. She's not weird, she's not mad, and she's not broken. She's human. So what is self-doubt and criticism? What is it? It's funny because I used to ask people this question often, like, what's thinking, what's thought, what's criticism, what's doubt? And no one could actually answer me. So I had to go and find out myself. And a lot of this doesn't come from only learning from outside of myself. It comes from really going inside and looking at what is the actual truth of my experience. And a teacher once said to me, one of my teachers once said to me, Sam, your experience will teach you everything you need to know about yourself and about your experience. So what I would do is slow down and I'd have a look inside. I'd have a look at my experience as it was and look for the answers within that. And what I found was really, to be honest, life-changing and profound for me. So criticism and self-doubt, what is it? Well, it's thought. It's thought. And we could say, you know what, it is only a thought. And that sometimes can be really kind of relieving, be really helpful to know that all of this stuff that we experience that feels really heavy, it is literally thought. And that can just take away some of the sting sometimes, which in and of itself can be helpful. But it's made up of belief and conditioned ideas, things we've picked up, things we've learned about ourselves, ideas that we've created based on experience, based on what we're told, based on, you know, our childhood, where we were told, do this, don't do that, you shouldn't do this, you should do that. And we're kind of molded, and it creates a programming. And that programming is then what responds and reacts to the world. We create an identity. And you all have experience of this. An identity is something that we create all the time. So I imagine that, and I know this was true for me, less true now, I think, but definitely true for me at the time. Who I was with my friends, and this is still true to an extent, definitely, how I am with my friend is very different to how I am on a live with you guys, for example. Not massively different anymore, but there's definitely some differences. And then who I am with my son is very different sometimes from who I am with a client, for example. And so we create different identities, and you guys will have this experience too, right? So who you are at work as a professional, let's say, if you are working, if you're a professional, who you are at work is likely to be very different from who you are when you're hanging out with your partner or a friend at home, right? So who we are, we create different identities depending on where we're at. And that's very normal, very usual. What tends to happen, or what does happen, is that this identity that we create for ourselves almost creates this like imaginary circle, right? This imaginary bubble that we live within, what is commonly known as like a comfort zone. It's like the zone of familiarity, the zone of what we're used to. And again, very normal. It's that that gives us kind of like perspective of the world and a certain view of the world. The problem is that most of us become way too attached to that view, become way too attached to that circle or being inside that sphere, that comfort zone, and it holds us back. Because actually, what we generally want, what we want to change actually requires us to get outside that a little bit. And a lot of us find that really challenging because it's like, oh my God, it feels so hard. There must be something wrong. And there isn't. It's just a totally normal experience to feel that. So this happened to me when I was younger. I wasn't a particularly like boisterous or noisy kid, I don't think. I was actually, in many ways, I was very sensitive. And I am now. I'm an incredibly sensitive person. Not overly sensitive as in defensive, but I'm very sensitive in how I feel. I feel very deeply. I'm a very feeling-led person. I live my life. My feelings will generally guide my decisions and my heart. And when I walk in a room, for example, I can feel people. I can feel what they're feeling. I'm a very sensitive person when it comes to feelings. So as I was growing up, I was that. I was quite a sensitive boy. And I think as I grew up, I lived in a very ego-driven environment, a kind of very, what I would call kind of masculine, it wasn't masculine, but a very kind of do, 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 go, 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 push, push, push kind of mentality. And whenever I would sort of be myself and I get loud or boisterous, it would kind of get quietened down. It would get shoved down. I remember my dad, and an amazing father, by the way, this isn't about my dad. I love my dad and he is a brilliant father, but he would give me this death stare. Whenever I was too loud or too noisy, or I would upset something, upset the balance in the house, for example. And what I learned really quickly was keep quiet. Don't be yourself, because if you are, it's dangerous. It's risky. It's scary. So what I would do is hold back. I would play small. And that create, even as an adult man, that I took that into my adulthood. I took that into my life. And I was like that for many, many years. I still have residue of it now, of course I do, but I've learned to recreate with it. But that's what would happen. Like, don't upset people, because if you do, it's bad. Bad things happen when you upset people. And this was my story. So that's how I lived my life. And my results showed. That showed in my results. I would only ever get so far with things, and then I would pull back. Because if ever I looked like I was doing better than somebody, or if ever I looked like I was doing really well, people would see me and it's like, oh God, okay, so let's bring this back a bit, Sam. That showed up in my health, in my relationships, it showed up in my bank account. It showed up in every way possible, even in how I dressed, many ways. So I've had to learn to recreate the idea of who I am. And that's exactly what I'm going to talk about right now. How do you do that? How do you recreate yourself? How do you recreate the ideas and the conditionings that we have about ourselves? So there's a couple of things that I personally have found really helpful. I'm going to share them as a personal thing. These are things that I work with my clients often. So take them, play with them, see how you get on with them, right? Have a go with them. That would be my encouragement to you, is go and have a go with them, right? And have a go at them for a good amount of time. It's not just a one and done. That's not the case. This is a constant practice. I'm practicing this kind of work constantly. So there are a couple of things, and there are two sides to the coin in this first part. Step one, and we've talked about this before, awareness. If you're not aware of what's running the show, if you're not aware that what is running the show is your conditioning, your thinking, your thoughts, and your beliefs about yourself, you're just going to keep doing it. And then what you'll do, if you don't look and see that that is why you're operating the way you're operating, you're going to look out in the world and blame the world. And that's what happens, right? That's what happened to me. I'd look out in the world and I'd blame the world. I'd say, oh, that's not fair. Oh, I haven't got that. That's my fault. That's their fault and all the rest of it. I wouldn't ever be able to turn around and look inwardly and see the source of the problem. I didn't know. No one told me. No one told me that that's how you do it. That's how I get an understanding of how I experience the world, is what's going on in here, in me. No one told me that. So I go around in the world blaming everyone. And can you imagine when I was diagnosed with male infertility, what then happened was, oh my goodness me, I'm broken. I'm not a real man. I need to be fixed. And I then, because I believed that was true, I went out into the world and tried to pretend to be somebody I'm not. Hey, look at me, guys. I'm so successful and I've got all this stuff and I'm a real man. And it's like deep down, I was in so much pain. I was broken because I hadn't seen that I was believing these thoughts and these judgments. I hadn't seen it. So I'd be going out in the world trying to prove myself as a man rather than seeing there was a judgment that I'm not a real man that was operating the show. If I'd have seen that, I could have done something much sooner. And that's okay, right? I've learned the hard way. So you guys don't have to. So So the first step to this is get aware, become aware of what's running the show. And this is a constant practice for me. So what I'll do generally in every morning, whenever my six-year-old is climbing over me and I've got my 4-month-old now, screaming and crying that he wants milk and he's pooed himself and I've got to change that. And amongst all of that stuff, what I'm doing is just slowing down and creating awareness of the thoughts, the judgments, stories that are going on in my mind and in my body. That's the first step. Get aware, because with that awareness, then you can do something with it. And the cool thing about it is that even being aware, just being aware that these are thoughts, these are stories, and writing them down on a piece of paper, right? That's what I'll do. I'll write them down. That in itself is helpful, because it has me see. Oh, yeah, it's a thought, it's a story. And then what I'll do, and what I do with my clients, what I'd encourage you to do, is bring in some forgiveness, some compassion for innocently believing a story about yourself. Oh, man, when I first realized this, right, when I first realized I could forgive that I'd forgotten how innocent I am. I'm a result of the programming that I've innocently adopted, and now I'm innocently acting it out. When I can see the innocence of that, oh man, the relief. Oh God, I'm innocent. Thank God for that. I don't have to be beating myself up and blaming myself for all these stories and the doubts and the criticisms. These are things that I've adopted, and I'm innocent amongst all of this. So what I can do is forgive myself for believing these judgments and these stories that I have about myself. They're not even about myself. They're just stories that I once believed, that somebody once believed about themselves. And that is so freeing. Even when things are really intense, like, so I had a surprise party for my 40th, and I'm not 40 until Sunday, but my wife threw me a surprise party like a couple of weeks ago. And I was oblivious. I mean, I'm oblivious to a lot of things, unless I'm in a conversation with someone and I'm so deeply immersed in it. I can often be oblivious, right? And my wife will tell me this. It drives her mad. She can say something to me, and then a week later, I'm like, we didn't have that conversation. Sam, we literally did. Okay, probably did. It's just not me. So anyway, I had this surprise party. So we'd gone out for dinner. And Sarah, my wife, had said to me, Sam, we're going to go out for a cocktail afterwards, right? We've not done that together in ages. We have date time, but we don't go out for cocktails because we've got a baby, so drinking's a really shit idea. But also, it just isn't something we can do at the moment with two kids. So, yeah, we're going to go for a cocktail, right? So we walked into this cocktail bar, and there's this big curtain at the end of the bar. She's like, oh, it's through here. I didn't even think to myself, why the hell is there a curtain there, right? Anyway. She's pulled back the curtains, and all of a sudden there's like all the people that I love most in one room. And it hit me like a ton of bricks. This sense that I haven't experienced in so long of anxiety and fear. And like, oh my goodness me, this is it scary. I need to get out of here. I didn't know where to look. I got really paranoid. I got really anxious, and I freaked out. No one would have known this, because to be honest, I've gotten so practiced with this kind of stuff. It doesn't like unground me in any way. I just stay grounded with it, and I could feel it and experience it as part of seeing everybody. It was fine. But what was really helpful is I just took a moment to myself. I went outside, took a moment, and I just grounded it myself in the innocence of what it is to be me. Oh, here's the story again. This old pattern I used to have about how people saw me. It's weird to be anxious. It's weird, Sam, you're weird. It's like, yeah, my weirdness is my superpower. My weirdness is me. The more weird I am, the more people love me. There might be some that don't like me, but the more people there are that love me. And so for me, I'm sharing that story because it still happens, right? I still get these experiences, but I can recreate with it. And that for me is freedom. That is freedom. There's nothing that I can do that can create any sort of experience that I need to avoid. Because even if I'd gone in there and had a panic attack and passed out, that would have been okay too. I mean, it's never happened, but if it did, that would be okay too. So I've kind of made peace with the things that I once believed about myself. And this takes me on perfectly to step two, which is to create a new story. Create a new story. This is the fun bit, man. This is the fun bit. And there are two parts to this. When I talk about making new story, what I'm talking about is create new ideas about yourself. Whatever happens in a day, in a moment, you're going to create yourself either way. You're going to create yourself as you always have done, or you're going to create yourself in a new way. So my encouragement to you is to create yourself in a new way, like I did at my party, right? It's like I could have avoided that and walked out, or I could have pretended that things were really bad and it was just like, just make it okay, like keep quiet. And I just shared with everyone. It's like, wow. And they're like, how are you? I was like, dude, this is well intense. I'm actually feeling really anxious about this. And it just made it light. And everyone's like, dude, I would hate this. So many people in that room were like, honestly, Sam, I'd hate this. Please never do this for me. Right. So I wasn't alone. It's a universal experience. And that just created such amazing connectivity with people. So anyway, your job is to create a new story about yourself. And part of that is by challenging yourself to get outside what's comfortable. Get outside what's comfortable. Are you willing to be 5% more uncomfortable this week? Just 5%. And expand that comfort zone. Expand that idea of, I mean, to be honest, expansion is even a concession. It's like just the more you are willing to step into that discomfort, the more you see that there is no comfort zone. It's a safety zone. And what you then do is you're able to like just keep going. There is no end to that. Just keep going. And it's a lot, life becomes a lot more growth filled and fun and creative and expansive, right? Part of this for me, and this might sound a bit strange, actually. I was writing this out this morning, thinking about what I was going to sort of say. And the thing that's really helped me with this, and this is what I work with my clients on, and this is actually, I've noticed a lot of us don't do this. And I want to encourage you to do this, is think about, what do you want? Like, what do you really want? Right? Not, oh, I want to do this. It's like the goal that you've always had. I'm not saying that's not part of it. I'm not saying don't want that. What I'm saying is slow down enough to see what you really want. How would you love your life to be? How would you love to be in your life? Right? It's not just what things do you want. It's how do you want to experience your life? And how do you want to experience yourself? Right? It's like, oh, I'm working with a client in the moment. She came to me. She said, I want to create more peace in my life. So instead of creating only the feeling of peace, what we're doing is having her create that she's peaceful with all of the things that feel unpeaceful, right? All the things that feel challenging and scary and intense. We're creating that she has peace with that rather than not having it at all. It's like most of us make the assumption that if I can't have peace until I've got rid of all these ideas I have about myself. And that's just bullshit, I think. I believe I've seen amazing results from people creating peace with what they have and what is, rather than creating, like trying to create peace in a sense of, I have to have peace when I get rid of all this stuff. But once you've created this idea of what it is that you want, and what is it in your heart that you want, as an individual person, what would you love to create? And it could be something so simple. It might be something like, just 20 minutes a day. What I really want right now is 20 minutes a day just to sit in quiet, to relax. Like it could be something as simple as that. It might be a Lamborghini. I don't know. It doesn't matter. Don't care. Whatever it is that's specific to you as an individual, and that's the key. When your heart tells you what you want, when you have a deeper idea of here is what I would love to create, here is what I really desire, here is what would, and you can allow your feelings to guide you on this. This feels amazing. This feels fantastic. This is what I want. Imagine that. It feels so good. That's what you want to be looking at. The more you align yourself with that, stop doing all the shit that you don't want to do or that you don't have to do. Of course, there's going to be things we don't want to do in life. I don't want to always take the trash out, but I can create joy in it, right? But at the same time, if you're doing stuff that's just creating resistance constantly in your life and you don't want to be doing it, I challenge you to really think about that. Think about what it is that you really do want and listen to what it is that you really do want. And the more you align yourself with that, the easier things become. You're not going to have to rely on consistency and commitment, because if you're aligned with what you want, life becomes more easeful. The reason why we don't have that often is because we've created a life up until now based on the conditioning that we have about ourselves, the limitations, the things we don't like, the criticisms, the self-doubt. We created a life often in parts, I'm not saying the whole, your whole life, right? I'm not gonna trying to depress people here. It's like we haven't created a whole life based on that, but there are things in our life that we've created limitations on because of the conditioning that we have, the limitations, the self-doubt, the self-criticism. And when you align yourself with what it is that you really want, there is no need for forcing commitment. Commitment is easy, it's easeful. Consistency is easy because you are in alignment with what it is that you want. It's just like breathing. So stay in the game. Step one, become aware of what's going on in there. Forgive yourself for the innocence of believing things about yourself, the self-criticisms, the self-doubts. And then think about what it is that you really want and align yourself with that.
Thank you for joining me on the Living Your Best Life podcast. I hope this episode has inspired you to take action towards your goals and your dreams. To learn more about how I can support you on your journey, please visit my website at www.samwildcoaching.com, and that's wild with an E. To connect with me directly, you can get in touch with me at coachme@samwildcoaching.com. I look forward to hearing from you, and I'll see you in the next one.